First of all, I'd like to thank the organizers for inviting me. And the story of string topology is originated by Chess and Sullivan. So what they tell us is that if one has a smooth, compact, orientable manifold M, then if we look at the free loop space on M, LM, and we look at the homology of that, then this it has a structure of a Bertalan-Volkovisky algebra. So this is a Bertalan-Volkovisky algebra. And another way of saying that, Volkovisky algebra, is to say that, well, I guess, strictly speaking, one really should go back a little bit to chain complexes and look at C star of LM. Another way of saying this is to say that this has a structure of an algebra over, well, the chain complexes of the frame two-dimensional little disk apparatus. It has C star D2 algebra structure. And here, the D2 is the framed two-dimensional little disk apparatus. So Cohen and Jones have a topological version of this, which is that if we look at the stable normal bundle of the M. So if we look at, call that mu of M, and so that's the stable normal bundle of this manifold, then what we have is that there is a valuation map from LM to M, so we can pull this normal bundle back and atomify it, and we can look at LM atomified with respect to this bundle. And what they showed is that this has a structure of a C2 algebra, where C2 is an unframe two-dimensional little disk. In fact, it's, if we look at the chains on this, this is equivalent to the Hochschild co-chain complex upper star of the co-chains on M. But there is also a Delin's conjecture, which was proven by McClure-Smith, and I think also Tamarkin and others, is that the Delin's conjecture tells us that if you start with an A-infinity algebra, then its Hochschild cohomology is going to be of a R, where R is an A-infinity algebra, is going to be a C2 algebra. So this gives us, indeed, that this has a structure of an algebra over C2. And so what I would like to talk about today is a question of what kind of structures, extra structure there would be on a, the question of what kind of structures on a, say, A-infinity algebra would lead to extra structures on its Hochschild cohomology. So there's some result, actually, of McClure-Smith, which actually has a result on some structures of A-infinity algebra that that has a D2, in particular, that has a in particular a D2 algebra structure on its Hochschild cohomology. And I think there are also some other versions by other people. I think Luke Manici and some others. So what I want to talk about is a version that of this, but my approach takes makes use of of the Voronov cactus apparat, which is equivalent to D2. So it's an approach that is, in this sense, slightly different, even so it could, it's possible that they give the same result of McClure and Smith. So what I want to do is first start by just stating the theorem that I want to talk about today, which is that if I start with a Poincaré algebra, then I claim that I'll say dual to the Hochschild homology has a natural action of Voronov's cactus apparat. That's the way I wanted to state it today. So A is a Poincaré algebra. Then dual to the Hochschild homology of A, and the dual here is just a functional dual mapping it to the base field, has an action of Voronov's cactus apparat which I'll just call C. So well, Poincaré algebra, I mean a infinity algebra, which is, maybe I'll say this. So Poincaré algebra, I mean an A infinity algebra A, which is also commutative, and also it's augmented. And if you look at first the multiplication and then the map down to K, so that's going to give us a by adjunction a map from A to A dual, and I want this map to be an iso. No. Well, doesn't really have to be Q in this. Sure. Why not? Let's just make a characteristic zero. So what I want to start by just recalling what the cactus apparat is. So this is an apparat no, the point Frobenius algebra doesn't have the commutativity. So this is an apparat which looks like the following. So if I look at Cn and a particular element of the Cn, what this is a configuration of circles which looks like a cactus of in this picture. So you have n circles. So for example, something like this. So it's a configuration of n circles. And of course, they're ordered. So I label them 1 through to n. And then there's a, one requires that the dual graph of this of these circles be a tree. So one doesn't have a picture that's something like this. And one does not have some kind of picture like this. Dual graph is a tree. And they have various radii, and I require the sum of the radii to be 1. And let's see, what else do we need? That's not all. Also, one would like to have, first of all, a distinguished point for each circle. and also a distinguished point for the entire cactus. So, and finally, what we also require is that at each intersection point, one requires a cyclic ordering of the components at each intersection point. So, what this gives is this is a element of CN, and there is an appropriate topology that one can put on it. And how does this make the spaces of such configurations into an apparat? Well, the point is that given all this data, what it gives is that for each such cactus, one has a well-defined map from a circle S1, which has a radius 1, into the C. This is well-defined. Namely, what you do is that you start at the distinguished point of the cactus, and then you go, all this data gives us a well-defined way of going along this circle, and then when we get to the an intersection point, the cyclic ordering of components tells you go on possibly to another circle. And then, so this allows us to go all the way around the circle. So that gives a well-defined map S1 to C. And the way in which we compose such cacti is that if I have this cactus and say I have another cactus in, say, position number position number 1, I can just use a distinguished point of this particular circle and this map to collapse this circle into another cactus. So that's how we compose a cactus with a bunch of other cacti. So use this. I think it's better maybe in this case to think of it as just an abstract graph with metric. You can use this to compose by collapsing each circle into a new cactus. Yes, actually, that's true too. So compose, they're oriented also. So by composed by collapsing circles. Okay, so that's what the cactus apparat looks like, and what in particular a theorem of Voronoff is that this is in fact a homotopy equivalent to the frame two-dimensional little disk apparat D2. So what I would like to do is to prove this theorem about Poincaré algebras. I'll start by defining the notion of what I'll call a cactus set. So this is in fact just a simplicial set, or in fact actually a cyclic set with some extra structures. So, what is a cactus set? So, it's a cyclic set. And let me call that S bullet with some extra structures. And what are these extra structures? Well, they are going to depend on cacti, but only the cacti with the combinatorial information involved. With extra structures. So what I mean by that is that if I look at a particular character Cn, and also suppose I have J1 through to Jn are natural numbers, I would like to consider the character C with J sub I points on the ith circle. So in a way that makes it into, well, in quotes, simplicial-like structure. So what I mean is this. I'm going to look at the following configuration. I have the character C, say one that looks like this, and I'm going to have J sub I mark points on the ith circle. So I'm going to have a bunch of marked points. And first of all, I'm going to require that all the intersection points and also the distinguished point of each circle, for example, the ones I drew here, as well as the entire cactus. And of the cactus, so suppose it's, if it's, say, a point here, I require that to be also one of the J sub I mark points. So I require all these special points, the intersection and the distinguished points of the circles and of the cactus to be among these points. And, in fact, I require that when you count the points on each circle, I get Ji points. So Ji points on an I circle. That's right. So, for example, this point will end up being counted three times. And of course, actually what I don't want is the kind of information that can vary continuously. So I should also forget some things. Namely, I'll forget, in fact, the first about the radii of the circles. I'm going to forget about that. So and also, I'm going to say that the exact positions of the circles do not matter. So I can also move the circles along the points, along the circles, as long as I don't actually move them past each other. So also can move the points along the circle as long as I don't move them past each other. So, in fact, this is a kind of, quote, simplicial-like type of structure. What I mean is that I can also talk about phases and degeneracies type maps between these configurations. Namely, for a phase, I can just take two adjacent points and pinch them together. And for degeneracy, I can also just insert a point, which of course increase one of the J's by one. Put this in quotes. So phases, you can pinch two adjacent points together and a degeneracy, I can basically just insert a point. So Now, so I have these configurations, but now let me come back finally to the definition of a character set. So what is a character set is that the extra structures are according to these cacti with ji points on each ith circle. So a thick cactus set is one such that for such a configuration, a spoolet is a cyclic set together with a map which goes from Sj1 minus 1 cross Sj sub n minus 1 to S summation of the Ji's minus 1 for each such configuration. Oh, that I drew over there. So that's, but of course, there should be some compatibilities of the obvious types that one has with spaces and degeneracies and also with the operat composition from C. So there's compatibilities with these. So these maps are compatible with the spaces and the degeneracies and also the operat composition. So that's, and the main proposition that will give me the theorem is simply that indeed, if I have a cactus set and I take its geometric realization, then that's going to have an action of the cactus operat. So if S is a cactus set, then its realization will have an action of the actual cactus operat. So, in fact, let me say a little bit about the proof of this proposition. It's actually somewhat straightforward, but it's kind of amusing. So the idea of the proof is that simply we'll just construct it by saying that now for each cactus C, now this is actually an honest cactus without these dots, but also with the topologically continuously varying structure, so with the radii and with the exact positions of the distinguished points. What I'll do is simply construct a map from the J1 minus 1 first dimensional standard simplex cross through to delta Jn minus 1, and this goes to delta summation Ji minus 1. Let me be precise here, is that actually it's not quite exactly summation Ji minus 1. It turns out that, as we'll see, it's a number that's somewhat larger than summation Ji minus 1. And this number, how much is larger, depends actually on C. But the only reason for that is that there's some degeneracies involved. So the way of doing this is simply just do it. And so if I have a point in this standard simplex, so if I have, say, S11 through to S1 sub J1 in delta J1 minus 1 in the barycentric coordinates, so that means that the summation of Sj1i is equal to 1, then what we can do is represent it on a circle as, if I look at a circle with circumference 1 and I start at the base point, what this in fact gives me is jth 1 number of points along the circle, so that the length of the subintervals are exactly S11 through S1J1. So I have S11, S12, and so on until I get to S1J1. So, but now if I can represent a point in the standard simplex as J1 number of points, then what I can do for the cactus is simply that given a cactus, so say if now I have a cactus, I have a distinguished point on each circle, and I can simply use this to get the J sub I mark points on each circle. So I get starting as a distinguished point for that circle. So maybe I get a picture like this. Now here's where the degeneracy comes in, is that I really would like to make sure that the intersection points and also the distinguished point for the entire cactus are among these points. So I'm just going to have to add them here, 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 and if the distinguished point for the entire thing is, say, here, I'll add that one too. So you use degeneracies. So you add, one adds the intersection points, and the distinguished point for the entire cactus. But now once I have this, recall that one also has a nice well-defined map from S1 to C. So what I can do now is simply starting at the distinguished point for the entire cactus, I now can go along the cactus according to this map. And that's going to now, what that's going to give me is that I'm going to get just a single circle and starting at the base point, I get, in fact, I'll call this T1, T2 through to and onwards. So, in fact, I get one circle with, in fact, summation ji minus 1, and then possibly a little bit more number of dots around this point, around this single circle, and which, in fact, gives me a point T1, T2 through to summation Ti minus 1 plus M. And this is going to be the image of the map. So we've constructed what C of these elements are. So this is going to be in delta summation ji minus 1, and then maybe a little bit more because of the degeneracy. But once one has that, it directly follows when one looks at the geometric realization, that's going to give you for each C, we have from the nth power of the realization to the realization itself. So that, in fact, constructs the cactus operate action on the realization of a cactus set. And see what's the next thing. So that's now let's come, so that proves this proposition, and let me come back to the theorem that I stated at the beginning. So I would like to show that the Hochschild, due to the Hochschild homology of a Poincaré algebra A, is in fact having, has in fact the structure of a cactus set. So what I'll do is that the, so if we come back to the theorem, notice that first of all the Hochschild, let me just talk about the Hochschild homology of A, and one way we can talk about the Hochschild homology of a Poincaré algebra is that one can say, write it as a cyclic bar construction, in fact, of A. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I meant actually associative, sorry. So it's actually, A is a Poincaré algebra that's actually honestly associative, commutative, and with the fact that that map obtained from a junction is from A to A dual is the isom. So once we have that, then the Hochschild homology of A I can write as a cyclic bar construction of A. And so in this case, I would like to, in fact, construct a cyclic cactus set structure on this. So our claim is that this is a cactus set. And how do we do that? Well, simply it's the following. Basically, if I have a cactus C, I can take the J1 through to JN, and what we can do is simply take the, so if I have C in CN, and if I have J1 through to JN, what I'll do is look at B cyclic of summation JI minus 1 of A. At this particular stage, I'll simply imagine it as a bunch of A's tensored in a cyclic pattern. I'll just use C to pinch together the circles to turn it into a cactus pattern, and then break up the circles in the cactus. So maybe I'll just draw a picture of this. So the idea is simply that at this stage, I have a bunch of A's tensored with each other in a cyclic circle pattern. So I'll set some A's down here. And for example, if I just have a simple cactus, say only with two circles, then I'll simply, and then suppose I also have J1 number point of points on circle 1 and J2 number of points on circle 2, then I can simply count it off, and I'm going to, there will be two copies of A, which I'll be able to pinch together by simply just a multiplication. So what I get is now a tensor of a bunch of A's in the pattern of the cactus, but there's only one copy of A, notice, in the middle where the where they intersect. But then what I would like to do is also to break up into the, break it up into really the tensor of two circles. So, but now because it's a Poincaré algebra and because I have A is, in fact, its own dual, what I can do is that this is going to give me also a co-multiplication on A. So I'll use that. to break this copy of A into two. And what I get is, in fact, now two complete circles tensored with each other. And indeed, when C's, what that gives me is that if I have a cactus, C, that gives me a map. Well, it's not a cactus set structure map, but it goes in the opposite direction. So we have B cyclic from summation ji minus 1 to B cyclic of j1 minus 1 tensored through to B cyclic in the dimension, in the simplicial dimension jn minus 1. So this is opposite to the structure that I defined over there, but what I can do now is simply turn it around, because first of all, recall the fact that a cyclic category is self-dual. So in fact, a dual to the cactus, to a cyclic set is still a cyclic set. So all I need to do now is simply to dualize. And what I get is that the dual is going to give me a still a cyclic set, and now these structure maps will go in the right direction. So in fact, one way you can say is that the dual is you have B cyclic of A. In fact, another way of saying that is just a cyclic cobar construction now of A. And in fact, that, as we started out with, was the dual to the Hochschild homology of A. So this is now a cactus set. Therefore, its totalization has the structure of a C algebra, and therefore a D2 algebra as well. So you get C algebra structure. That pretty much prove the theorem that I stated at first. So I think in the amount of time remaining, what I like to talk about is how this stuff relates to some of my earlier work, and in particular in relation to a higher Hochschild cohomologies and to causal duality. So let's see, maybe I'll start by saying a few words about higher Hochschild cohomology. So this is originally a question asked by Koncevich. So there's a Dillene's conjecture proven by McClure and Smith, which says that if you start with a C1 algebra, then its Hochschild cohomology is a C2 algebra. So what Koncevich asked is whether there is such a notion for starting with a CK algebra, and whether there's a notion of its Hochschild cohomology, and whether there is an analog of the Dillene's conjecture. And indeed, that's what myself, Igor Chris, and Sasha Voronov have done. We answer this question in the affirmative. So we defined, first of all, a notion of such a higher Hochschild cohomology. So the idea basically is sort of general and homotopy theoretic. Basically, if I have R, a CK algebra, first of all, there is a category of CK, R modules, And we can define a model, closed model structure on this category of CKR modules. So, and then from this general way, we can define the higher Hochschild cohomology of R. So HC in the CK category of R is just the derived functor R-Hom in this category of CKR modules from R to R. And indeed, given there's also an analog of Deligne's conjecture, which is that this is a CK plus 1 algebra. So, in fact, I have a topological application of this result of ours, which is that if I look, in fact, not just at a smooth compact orientable manifold, but say just at a more a finite simplicial complex, one thing which I've done is to construct a certain object, which is the generalization of the Spivak bundle. But since X is just any kind of a finite simplicial complex, this object, which I'll call S of X, is neither a bundle nor a spherical vibration. All you can say really is that it's a stable object, it's a spectrum, which is parametrized over X. So, well, I mean, you can think of it as a bundle of spectra over X, except it's not really a bundle. So what one can do is that, nevertheless, even so it doesn't have, it's not really a bundle, you can still talk about an analog, general analog of Thomification of this thing. And what I can do is, instead of the free loop space on X, I can think about the maps from the k-dimensional space to X that, again, maps by evaluation to X. So I can pull the spectrum back to this space and Thomify it in some sense. And what I can do is now, well, let's just take it to chains, and I'll take chains of this object, which, in fact, I claim that this is naturally, let's see, I use HC, equivalent to the Hochschild cohomology in the CK category of the cochains of X. So once one has that, this tells us that this is a CK plus 1 algebra. So in some sense, this is a kind of generalized analog of the results of Chas Sullivan and of Cohen and Jones, that it's to the higher dimensions as well as for finite simplicial complexes. Hochschild cohomology of the cochain. Well, I think this is what one has. It's well, maybe a better way is to say the Hochschild cochain complex is exactly yeah, that's right. So it's, let's see, what did I say, HC or CH? Maybe I'll write CH a little bit. Yeah.
That's a little bit better.
So I have the Hochschild co-chain complex rather than just of the C upper star of X. So, so that's kind of a story of higher Hochschild cohomology. But another ingredient of this is the notion of causal duality. So let's see. So the story of causal duality is that first of all, there's the paper of Ginsburg and Kapranov, which defined a notion of given a operat in the category of chain complexes over a field of characteristic zero, one can define a causal dual operat. So one can define the notion of a causal dual operat. But there's also a different kind of Quillen point of view towards this, which is motivated by Quillen's idea about what cohomology is. So his general philosophy is to say that cohomology should be a derived functor of abelianization. So cohomology is supposed to be the derived functor of abelianization. So in fact, so what this really is saying is that this gives one an idea of what should be a general notion of causal duality for general categories. And this philosophical idea is that to say that if you start with a category C, then the causal dual of this category should be, its objects should be the ones that have the structures that's present on the Quillen cohomologies of objects in your original category. So what one has is that one can say it this way. So if I start out with C, a category, and suppose it has products, then one can first of all look at a full subcategory of abelian objects with respect to this categorical product. So I'll call that AB of C. And certainly there is a forgetful functor from ABC of C into C, and there are some set theoretical conditions which would allow one to have a left adjoint. So if those conditions are satisfied, I'm going to have a left adjoint, which is, I'll call AB, in fact, is a kind of abelianization functor. Then I'll say the following. Which is that first of all, I'll talk about the causal transforms, which is that if I now first take F and then take the abelianization back, that is going to be a comonad in the category of abelian objects, and I'll define first of all the causal transform of the original category C and so it's going to be, I'll write it as a C lower shriek, is the coalgebras over this comonad in the AB of C. Actually, I didn't say it, but I should mention actually that all this stuff should be down derived. So really, you should be thinking about some kind of model structures on C and the AB of C, and really these are supposed to be derived functors. So this really should be all done derived. And once we have the causal transform of a category, I'll simply say that in general, the causal dual category of C is just the opposite of C lower shriek. So the causal dual C upper shriek is just C lower shriek and taken to the opposite. And in fact, if I also can talk about the causal dual of a particular object in C to take it, which will end up in C upper shriek. And so if I have an X in C, then I'll do X upper shriek. Its causal dual is simply that you can take abelianization of C. That will turn out to be a coalgebra over this comonad in AB of C, but since it's really derived, one really has to take the derived functor of this. And so this is going to land in the causal transform, and I can, for instance, say dualize it in the nice, X, to get it into the causal dual category. In particular, what this in fact is a generalization of what Ginsburg and Kapranov had. Which is that, first of all, in fact, the category of apparatus is self-causal dual, and in fact, a theorem which I've proved a little is that a little bit back is that in fact if we look at the CK, the k-dimensional little disk apparatus, it's going to be self-causal dual in that sense. So in particular, what this says is that we can talk about causal dual, the category of CK algebras, the category itself causal dual. And what we have is that another theorem is that if you look at causal dual, CK algebras, actually I think CK is self causal dual up to a shift. So, and in fact, causal dual CK algebras have the equivalent Hochschild cohomology. So, in fact, an example of this going back to topology is, for instance, if I look at X, a finite simplicial complex, and if I had, then I can look at the cochains on X, and also the chains on omega k-fold based loop space on X, omega k of X. These two are both CK algebras, and they in fact turn out to be causal dual to each other. And so that's therefore one corollary of this is that these two guys have the same Hochschild, higher Hochschild cohomology in the higher sense that I mentioned before. No. I don't think so. So that's, well, maybe in the end, let me see how much time. Well, there, well, actually, let me think. There is some connectivities that are needed for the convergence to work, and I have to say I don't remember off the top of my head what exactly they are, but I have them written down so somewhere, so I kind of, okay. But yeah, that's right, that there is some connectivity condition that one needs. So. That's right, because it's really an E infinity algebra by some Eilenberg-Silber kind of product. So, well, maybe in the end, I'll say a little bit about the, well, I'll give a kind of sort of take on this, which actually is leading to some connection between the kind of causal duality and Poincaré duality, which seems like two completely different types of dualities. The idea is that once again, suppose now I come back to a compact, smooth compact orientable manifold. So in this case, well, I guess really the upper star of X isn't strictly speaking a Poincaré algebra, but it's, you can make it into a analog of a Poincaré algebra up to homotopy. So in this case, what I can say is I can look at, so once again, X is now a smooth, compact, orientable manifold. And so I can look at the chains let's say LX nu X, the atomification of the stable normal bundle, and then this is equivalent as from the result of Cohen and Jones to the Hochschild co-chain complex of the C upper star of X. So what one has is the C upper star of X, but well, I mean, from the fact that if you have causal dual algebras, CK algebras, that's going to give me same Hochschild cohomologies, I can turn this into C lower star of omega of X, and in fact, this is going to be also equivalent to if I just look, I think it's still chains of just LX. Actually, there's some shifts in various places here, but notice that what I have here is causal duality, and what I have here is, well, it's more like not quite Poincaré duality, but a Tom isomorphism. So in this sense, these two seemingly completely unconnected dualities actually translate to each other in this case. So that's kind of a slightly amusing thing. So I guess I'll finish up, and I just want to mention a couple questions that I want to would like to ask is what, first about what is the higher analog of all this D2 discussion. So I know Sullivan and Voronov have a higher version of the cactus apparat. So one thing I would like to know is whether there's a simplicial discussion of that, and in particular, if one can use that to start with the Poincaré algebra and look at its Hochschild cohomology in the CK sense, whether that's going to have a structure of a dk plus 1 algebra. So that's a question that I like to ask. So I'll finish here.